hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the King, hallelujah to the Lamb, hallelujah to the great I am. Hallelujah to the King, hallelujah to the Lamb, hallelujah to the great I am. You are holy.
Give you praise, give you glory, we magnify you, we lift up your name. You're so awesome, worthy of our lives and worthy of our praise, Father. So we thank you today, Lord. I thank you for utterance. I thank you for boldness, clarity of speech, irresistible speech. Lord, I thank you for the congregation that they are people, Father, who hear the word and act upon it. Because of that, they're blessed. We thank you, Lord, we're growing up in all things. And Lord, we're thank you, we're getting a heart for what is important to you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 2. Continue with the seven big habits for explosive personal growth. We'll do number seven today. Before I get in the message, I just wanted to mention the Thrive internship that's coming up. I have a meeting after second service today. And Thrive internship is this summer, and it's for all the students in Overflow, our youth ministry. And this is something that's very near and dear to my heart. I've been 1983 and 84. I spent 83. I spent a summer, 2 months in San Diego with Campus Crusade for Christ. 1984, spent 2 months in the country of Panama. And those were two life-changing trips for me. Came back from each of them just different and had grown and experienced so many things. Both of those trips probably cost me about $2,000. With all the different expenses, and that was money that we raised on our own, believed God for. And we have an opportunity to do something similar to that right here at our church for a lot less, and you get to sleep in your own bed. But this is going to be a life-changing summer. We started last year, was kind of the guinea pigs, and but it was awesome. Few months that we had, but it's going to be even better this year. And so as a favor to me, at least will you do me the favor of going to the meeting? And then going to the meeting and praying about it and seeing, is this what the Lord has for me? Because I believe, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do with your summer, but this will be something where it's going to impact your life, and I believe will impact others for eternity. So come out. We'll have the information meeting after the Red Room, Nate? In the Commons. And again, just come and hear some good things they're going to present, and then just pray about it and follow the Lord. But I think it's really something that's going to be awesome. All righty, Acts chapter 2, and let's go down to verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So we're on our seventh habit today. The first one was fellowship, and then renewing the mind, speaking the word, prayer, praise, generous giving, and today is giving life. Everybody say giving life. Now, you have to, we don't really have an understanding of how radical things were when Jesus came. How radical the change that he brought, and it really was a revolution. Because in the Jewish community, they weren't adding to the temple daily. Either the way they grew, if they were going to grow, is they had people born into it. And then even all those that were born into it didn't necessarily stay. So to have a community and an organization that was adding daily was something radical, something different. And I'm going to try to explain this today, why this happened. And I think you'll, by the end of the message, you'll understand. Turn to John chapter 10. Verse 10, we'll read this from the Amplified Version. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. Talking about the devil. This is his mission. This is his purpose. This is what he does. 24/7, steal, kill, and destroy. Now this is Jesus. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So the devil, what he's doing, he's killing, stealing, and destroying. And what is he killing, stealing, and destroying? Everything good and precious in your life. Your dream, your job, your joy, your happiness, health, finances, your marriage, your kids, your relationships. Did I leave anything out? He wants to ruin everything he can get his hands on. And he wants you to give up. He wants you just to exist. He wants you just to go through the motions. And he wants you lifeless. That's his plan. That's his intention of all his strategies, is for you to exist in this world but to be lifeless. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, came to give us life and life more abundantly. And that word abundance, it's really superabundance. It's a life living to the full, overflowing with good things, joy, peace, provision, health, protection, living in Christ, being reconciled to God, enjoying all the benefits of this great salvation that we have. And to really understand this, you may want to do a study on the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O, which is the word salvation. You can find it in Romans 10. Look up that word sometime and look at studying the Greek. It means so much more than going to heaven when you die. If it was just that, that'd be awesome. But it's all about also this life here on earth. Now, the word life is the Greek word zoe. Everybody say zoe. Spelled Z-O-E. And this life is, of course, it's living, just being alive. Everybody, all 6 billion people on the earth, we're living, we're breathing, we're alive. But it means more than that. It means to be alive spiritually. To be alive physically means we're going to die. But to be alive spiritually, you'll never die. Spiritually speaking, your spirit will never die. It lives with God forever after this physical body dies. And really, the Zoe life is the life of God. And the way I'm going to say it today, and I just got this really last night, maybe I've said it before, but the Zoe life, the life of God, is a transforming life. It's a transforming life. It's a life that changes us. It talks about this new life in Christ, where the power of God actually comes in and transforms you. You become a new person, a new man on the inside. But see, that transformation is not just a one-time deal. It continues for the rest of your life. And there's no limit. This is the beauty of it. In so many things, there's a limit, but there's no limit. It's as far as you want to go, as far as you want to believe God, of how far that transformation will go. Well, how do I get this new life? John chapter 20, I'll just read it to you. John chapter 20, verse 30 says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life," you may have Zoe, transformation, "in his name." So how do you receive this life that Jesus came to give us, this abundant life? You receive it. You believe it. You confess it. Ask him for it. It's by grace through faith. Now, how do I walk in this life? Well, we grow in it. Turn to 1 Peter 2. Just kind of trying to speed through this part so I can get to the part I want to get to, but got to say this first. 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 2, this is amplified. It says, "Like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk." And what are we talking about here? We're talking about the Word of God. That by it you may be nurtured and grow unto completed salvation. So we receive this life, this abundant life, by asking Jesus to come into our life. We grow in it, and it develops in our life by hearing the Word. The Word of God, the Bible says, feeds our spirit. The Word of God renews our mind. James calls it the saving of the soul. Even though our spirit's born again, we still need to save our soul. And that's done by the Word. And the Bible also says that the Word of God brings health to our flesh. So it's the Word impacts us on all parts of our lives, spirit, soul, and body. But it's not just hearing the Word. And that's why we say, James talks about being a doer of the Word. It's hearing the Word and doing it and acting upon it that brings growth. Now, over in John chapter 8, I won't read this, in John 8, verse 31 through 32, it says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth that you know will set you free." So as the Word comes into your life, as you hear the Word concerning healing, you're going to have freedom in your body. If you hear the Word in the financial area, as you hear it and you understand it and as you apply it, you'll have freedom in the financial area. Whatever word you hear and understand it and apply it brings freedom. Does that make sense? So that's how we grow, and that's how we walk in this new life. But we got to go further, because this is where a lot of Christians are at this point. But to be a true believer, to be a disciple, or to be a follower of Christ, you have to take it beyond just receiving this life and even walking in this life. You have to be able to give life. And that's what the early church did, and that's why they added to the church, and that's what made their community different, is because they were life givers. And before that, they weren't. They had a bunch of rules and a bunch of regulations. And I'm not saying they didn't love God, but the way they went about it was not life-giving. It was really putting people in bondage under the law. They added so many, 600, 800 rules and regulations above what was written in the old covenant. So they were just heaping burden after burden to really that no one could live it. And can imagine if you have all these rules and regulations that you have to live and you can't do it. Would there be any joy there? I mean, if you went out and tried to tell somebody about that, how would you even convert them? You know, the first thing you got to do is come get circumcised. Well, that's a real attractive program there. So they're not adding and they're losing people. Let's go over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. How do we give life? How do we give this Zoe life that we've received? This transforming life. Acts 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Scripture calls it the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In Luke 24, it says, go wait in Jerusalem and you will be endued with power. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And that word power is the word dynamis. It means energy, power, might, great force and ability, strength. It's the dynamite power. It's the miraculous power of God. And it's that power that brings transformation. In the power is transformation. But isn't it interesting that it doesn't say you shall receive the Spirit of God so you can grow or have a better life or you'll be happy or you'll be blessed and you'll live the American dream and you'll be comfortable. It says you'll receive the power so you'll be a witness. And a witness is not silent. A witness testifies of the things that they have experienced and the things that they have seen. I mean, it's not a witness if you don't say anything. Look over in Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. Verse 14. Then Jesus, this is after Jesus receives the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus returned in power of the Spirit to Galilee. It's that word dynamis. In the dynamis, the dynamite power of God, of the Spirit to Galilee. And the news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. So for 30 years, Jesus basically has no impact on the earth. He's growing. The Bible says he grew in wisdom and favor. He's learning, he's developing, but then all of a sudden he's baptized, and being baptized means he's submerged in the Holy Spirit, and now he comes back, and the fame of him grows, and he preaches the good news. There was something different about him after the Spirit of God came into him. Look over in Acts chapter 10. And I think the church, we've totally missed what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about. We took it as something to bless us and to bless our little group. And we've missed what it's all about, the purpose. I mean, even when we go through the names of the Holy Spirit, Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, we always look at it in terms of us instead of the Holy Spirit doing those things through us. Encourager, standby, strengthener. Acts 10:38, how God anointed. Anointed means to rub and smear on Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, dunamis. And because of that, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, he came to do something about the devil, the one that was killing, stealing, and destroying. Jesus came to change that. And he came to bring life. And he came to bring transforming life. And he came to give life. And he came to give that to his followers. But he didn't want his followers just to be blessed, because it would be just the same thing, community that they had before. They needed to take that transforming life and then, through the power of the Spirit, begin to give that life. And I'll say to you that, of course, the Holy Spirit helps you with the Word and leads you and guides you, and he blesses you and all those things, comfort and strength. He does those things for you. But he comes to help bring life to the Word and help you take that Word to give life. Now let's go over to Matt. Let me just read this, because I want to read this from the Message translation, but just follow along here. I mean, this is so cool here. Matthew 9, verse 35, Message translation, it says, then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies. Healed their bruised and hurt lives. And when he looked over the crowds, his heart broke. Is that how we are when we see people today? Does your heart break? When you go out and to your job and go out to the grocery store, when you go to the ball game, or does your heart break for what, you know, talking about what God, his bucket list. His heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. Then he says, what a huge harvest. And anybody with any kind of spiritual perception can look out and see the harvest field. And you don't have to go far. You don't have to go to another nation to see that there's a huge harvest. He said to his disciples, how few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. Pray for harvest hands. And I was just thinking about that, about hands. Hands receive, but then hands give. Harvest hands. I like that. Now let's continue on. And I've been reading this a lot, but I hadn't gone on and read the next chapter. Matthew 10, verse 1 says this, the prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. Jesus called 12 of his followers and sent them into the right fields. He gave them power to kick out the evil spirits and tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. And then it lists the 12. These are people like you and me. Continue on down to verse 5. Then Jesus sent his 12 harvest hands out with this charge. Don't begin by traveling to some far off place to convert unbelievers. Don't try to be dramatic by taking some public enemy, by tackling some public enemy, go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. And so I feel, and again, this is not the only thing that we're doing here at Good News Church, but of course, our mission is empowering people to give life. This is what we do here. This is what we do, is to give Zoe life to people. And our job is to pray for the laborers, but then to raise up those laborers. And I'll say to you that the church has got it wrong, as we felt that giving life was being a good person and doing random acts of kindness. And of course we need to live right and we need to do acts of kindness. But acts of kindness will not necessarily get someone saved. Acts of kindness, you know, I pay for the guy behind me in the coffee line. I'm going through the toll booth and pay for five cars behind me. I, you know, grab the buggy for the lady that was going to bring the buggy back at the grocery store. I mean, these are all wonderful things to do, and we should do those things. But that's not going to bring transforming life to that person. But you know, and we have whole denominations of churches that say we shouldn't share our faith. We have spirit-filled churches that we're not sharing our faith. If we're not sharing our faith, we're not giving life. How can they hear without a preacher? How can they get saved without a preacher? How can they get your random act of kindness? How's that going to bring healing? You being a good, nice person, how does that bring healing to the guy sitting next to you at the banquet? So we've got a lot of good people in the church. We're good people. And we have a lot of good principles to bless us. But I just say to you today that that's not really living the abundant life. That you don't start living the abundant life until you start giving it to somebody. That freely you have received and freely you give. Giving life involves words being shared from you to someone else. Giving people the word. It can be teaching, can be preaching, can be Bible study, can be giving a book, could be giving a CD, could be inviting them to church. Giving life is using your authority to take authority over the devil. Giving life is prayer. And notice the common denominator in all these things are your words. Praying for people. Either praying for them or praying with them. Leading someone into salvation obviously is giving life. I mean, that's the ultimate. Someone's dead, and because you share the gospel with them, new life comes. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. That involves sharing words. Sharing scriptures. You can bring comfort to someone. You can bring encouragement. You can inspire people. Healing. By me being a good person, does that bring healing to Nate? By me doing a random act of kindness, a good deed, does that bring healing to Nate? No, it brings healing to Nate when I bring minister life to him. Right. Forgiving people, that involves words. Giving grace, testimonies. Well, what about blessing people? Well, what I've been seeing, and just I've been studying that this year, is blessing people and giving to them of substance is a good thing, but it may or may not be life-giving. And so, but I do believe that blessing is the door, opens the door to giving life. Now, I look at what we're doing on the streets by giving out water. And I didn't even really, we didn't even really know what we were doing there. But I thought about what the power of having that cold bottled water for on a hot and thirsty day for someone, when you give that to them, you bless them, and that would be a good thing, but that's not life-giving necessarily. And so we give them the water, and they take a moment maybe to drink it, but that's when we opens the door for us to give life. Last summer, we gave 6,000 bottles of water out in the streets of Augusta, and many times we ran out of water. 6,000 people that we met, and 3,000 born again. But by being a blessing, opened the door for us to give life with our words. Something inside of us, we're giving the Zoe life of God in us to someone else. And of course, ultimately, I mean, it would be awesome. I mean, when that Zoe life comes from us, comes by the word, comes into Neil or someone, I mean, it brings transformation. See, it's not beating people over the head with the word of God. I mean, we speak the truth in love. We're not condemning people. Bringing that healing. You see, there's different aspects of the Zoe life of God. Healing is an aspect. Bringing that healing life from me to another person. Bringing peace from that Zoe life in me. It's the life of God. The life of God is in me. See, the life of God is not in someone that's lost. They're dead. They're not alive to God. Their bodies are alive, but spiritually inside, they're dead. They don't have God's life. And I tell you, that's why we talk about the trunk or treat. The difference with that event, and we were expecting maybe 200, 300 people. We had about 600 come. I mean, they were just coming from everywhere. Coming from the neighborhoods, walking, driving by on I-20, all over the place. They came. And the reason why I believe they came is because they sensed, they may not even known it, they sensed there was life here. And we didn't do just bless people with candy. You know, that would have been great. Or cotton candy or drinks or popcorn or done face painting or had games. Those are all good things. But we realized in blessing people, that opened the door. They were open to the gospel, which was being preached back at the hayride. And see, when you have an event, you've got to have life being given. And that's the difference than just doing something to bless people, but then to say, okay, we're going to bless you, but then we're also going to give you real life. And so I'm really thinking about this and all that we're doing. We've got to give opportunities for people to give life if we're empowering people to give life. And that's why for this Easter, we're just stepping out here. We're looking to be a blessing. We're asking for 6,000 eggs, 60 baskets, and really, you know, to be honest, it's probably not enough. We're doing 2 outreaches, egg hunts in the community, planning it out, doing the same, just like Trunk or Treat, only we're going to the community. We're going to our neighborhood. And we're going to bless them, and they're going to have a good time, but we're going to preach the gospel. And we're going to do the same thing here at Good News Church. Do I believe in the Easter Bunny? No, I don't believe in the Easter Bunny. Do I? This whole thing about eggs, how does that have anything to do with the resurrection? But you know what? I don't really care if it's going to get somebody saved. If it takes an egg to get you to church, Well, I'm gonna make a big egg and give it to you. And I'll pop out of it. Dressed like a chicken. You'd pay to see that, wouldn't you? Well, if we get enough eggs and baskets out there, I just may do it. That's going to take more than 6,000. But you work on that, Donna. I want to read a couple emails here. This one first one's from, you know, I get these all the time. This one first one's from Gary Platt, and Gary's working at the hospitals and as a chaplain. He's always got some testimony. But here's one. He says, after we had the gentleman stable in the ER, I asked direction to the CDU unit and found out it was right at the end of the ER. Upon arriving, the nurse told me the young man had tried to commit suicide and needed salvation. As I spoke with the gentleman, he told me he was coming off a manic episode and was tired of all the manifestations going on around him. We talked further and found out he was a drinker and his drug of choice was cocaine. That's interesting because Gary used to be on cocaine. I was able to relay my, see, God just arranges these things. I was able to relay my testimony to him of how God delivered me. And then he asked about tobacco, and I was able to relate the open heart story. As I finished, Richmond County arrived to transport him to regional, and in front of the deputy and the two security guards, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Not only did the patient cry like a baby, but I also had one of the security guards crying. What a blessing it is for God to have put us in the positions he has. Got this one from Claire. And it's so funny because Susie called Mike Netzler last night to talk to him about see if Claire was going to be here. Mike had two given life testimonies that he shared with Susie. But see, that's real life. That's real life. This is from Claire Netzler. So a strange thing happened last night. I was coming down our street and passed a woman walking on the side of the road. By the time I was getting out of the car, she was coming toward me. She asked to use a phone. She explained that she had gotten herself into a bad situation and needed to call someone to pick her up. I let her use my phone and she was gone in a few minutes. I came into the house regretting that I hadn't gotten to talk to her longer and asked her the question. Today she came back by the house and thanked me for helping her the night before. After a long conversation while her two-year-old fussed, she started crying. She looked at me, said, I'm lost. I got the baby a snack. My glasses are fogging up. I got the baby a snack to keep him satisfied while I led her in the prayer of salvation. By the end of the conversation, she was hugging me and thanking me for sharing with her. Her name is Lauren, and I'm believing God that she is going to do something awesome on her behalf. What a great day to get saved. Now, are we asking you to be the evangelist and go start getting on the corner and start preaching and yelling at people? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about in our daily lives is where we go is that we have something. Yeah. And I'm not saying to force it, and I'm not saying to condemn people. No. And I'm not saying to beat people over the head. Certainly we've had enough of that. But as opportunities arise, as we make connections, especially as you've done something to bless somebody, you've got an open door. And we pray the Holy Spirit will empower you, will embolden you. At that moment, you may not even know what you're going to say, but he will, if you just step out in love, and you may just do it in fear and trembling, but you just said, hey, I'm just going to step out. I'm going to give life in the way that I know it and through my personality. What I have, all of us have something. Yeah. And I just tell you, God's just going to open up some doors. And we're just going to have so many testimonies pouring in. We'll just have to take services just to share. And so we got to get out of this mindset about just being a good person. Yeah. And we got to get out of the mindset of even just blessing people. Yeah. And you know, the whole thing, well, I'll be thinking about you. Your thinking is getting, it's not doing any good. He's baptized us with power to be life givers. That life is in us. And this abundant life in Christ, it is, I mean, I am, you know, blessed beyond obviously what I deserve. And so it's a good life. But the real rich life is when you get in to see what God's vision and God's heart for this harvest. There's this huge harvest out there, and the laborers are few. And part of my job is to raise up laborers. I can't just pray about it anymore. I got to do something about it. I got to train. I got to teach. I got to coach. I got to mentor. I got to inspire. I got to lead by example. And we'll do this. We'll transform our city. And then once we get our city transferred, then we'll transform. Then we'll go to South Carolina and Georgia. Then we'll go to the U.S. Then we'll go to the world. Amen. Let's stand, everybody. Oh, we thank you, Father. We just give you praise. Just give him praise. Just thank him for his love. And there may be some folks here today, maybe it's just time for a wake-up call. Hey, you know, it's time for a change. I've just missed it. I missed what you're doing, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your help. Thank you, Lord, Father, you just bring the word alive to us. And Lord, even as we leave today, that this message, these words will be speaking to us, Father. Your words. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're filled to the full and overflowing to be witnesses. I pray for the people of Good News Church for boldness today. I pray for the people of Good News Church to come out of their comfort zone, Father. Step out of the boat, walk on the water. In fear you go. Intimidation, you go in the name of Jesus. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And Lord, may we get this harvest field in our hearts. That we see the harvest, that our heart may break about the harvest, Father. And not only break, but that we'll do something with our time, our talent, and our treasure. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name.
Praise God. That's awesome. I love that, Matthew. Was that 9 and 10? That was great. I love that, the message. I've read that, but it never dawned on me like that at all. Praise God. Right now, we're going to start our School for Life in just a few minutes here. We're going to start School for Life. I want to encourage you, if you haven't been in School for Life, you come back to Abundant Life. I know a number of you have completed Abundant Life, and we're having a really good series from Kenneth E. Hagin. Today, we start a video that I think is the best of all the ones we've been watching. I watched it through last night. It was so good. And it's talking about the Holy Spirit working in your life. Working through your life, and the one thing that